right, you can turn your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12. Mainly what I'm going to be reading is in chapter 12, but I'm going to back up to chapter 11 in verse 26 and verse 27. And it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." Now, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the reading out of thy word, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you may speak through these lips of clay, Father, and speak to the hearts that are here this morning. Speak to my own heart, Father. I need something afresh and new from heaven today. And I know, Lord Jesus, that each one of us do. And God, I pray that you'll bless each and one that showed up today. And Father, that you will just bless them this week, Father, and being a witness to someone else, Father, that maybe someone may get saved, Father, and they can surely see where what they do is not in vain. And Father, we just want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, in verse 1 says, in verse 1 of chapter 12, where we just read about the blessings and the curse, in the way that what the Lord has promised us, he's going to curse us if we just defy him and just don't obey him and don't obey his commandments, he's going to bring a curse on us. And I believe he has already done that on a whole lot of people, because we don't see a whole lot of people in church today. And I'm not saying that that's the reason that they may not be doing anything for the Lord, but I tell you what, it's also a blessing. And we see where he spoke about the blessings if we obey the commandments. And we obey his commandments, which is the word of the living God. Because in the Ten Commandments, we have there, and the Ten Commandments is just as good for today as it was back then. But we just have two commandments to live by. And we must live by them two commandments as Christians in a day of grace. And that's what we're living under. We're living under grace. And the condition of the blessings of the land. Now, who brings the blessings unto the land? We do. The individual people, they're the one that brings the blessings upon the land. Because if they do, and if they follow God's commandment, then no doubt they're going to have a fruitful crop. No doubt that they're going to have some other things that go on within the land. And we see it right there. And it says in verse 1, it says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in a land, which the Lord God of thy father giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. We see right there the verse the scripture is talking about in serving the Lord. And we will be cursed if we don't serve the Lord, and we'll be blessed if we do serve the Lord. But in verse 2 it says, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which ye shall possess serves their gods. You know, we as Christians, and if God plainly tells us this, that if we know of another Christian that has fallen by the wayside, we are supposed to be a big enough individual, a big enough person in knowing the Lord God, that we must go to them and tell them where they're going wrong. And it's, we find that over in the New Testament, where Paul would also teach the people that, says you've got to go to the people that are not serving the Lord. And they say they're saved. Paul, I wanted to bring another message this morning, but the Lord wouldn't let me. But the title of that message was The Man That The Man That Does Right. The man that does the right things. And that was Paul. And you can go back and you can read the story of Paul, but it's talking about Paul and how he went about in serving the Lord. And if there was anyone on this earth that was born after the Lord Jesus Christ and after his birth there on Calvary, after his birth there in the castle that day, after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, I reckon, was the next man that would walk closer to the Father than anyone else had walked beside the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was searching out and he was seeking the Father's will to be done in his life. And we also know that Paul, he was also seeking out the Lord Jesus, that he would do what the Lord Jesus wanted him to do. And he knew if he could please the Lord Jesus, then he knew within his own heart that he could please the Father in heaven. You know, we have to do the same thing. We have to think about the same thing. Before we can please the Father that is in heaven, sitting behind the throne room of God there and making intercessions for us, we must have to obey the Holy Spirit first. We cannot obey God, and we cannot say that we love God if we say we don't love the Holy Spirit. Because we have got to love the Holy Spirit. We have got to love God. And we have seen that and said, as in verse 2 says, ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serves their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. That's the only way that they could serve God, is that they had to serve God the way God wanted them to serve. God wanted them to keep the commandments. God did not want them to serve these little minute gods out here, because God knew what was going to happen to them. God knows exactly what's going to happen to the people today that don't serve him. God's given us so many chances, like I said here. I think it was maybe Wednesday night or Sunday night. God gives us so many chances to where we can just turn from the ways that we're going and turn our back completely around and go the way that God wants us to go. And bless him.
Did you realize that we cannot receive a blessing from God until we bless God? God deserves our blessings. God deserves everything that we do for Him. He deserves it. Why? Because He allowed His Son, His only begotten Son, to leave the throne room of God and to come down and be born of a virgin, Mary, that day. And when that dove landed on her shoulder, and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah. He wasn't born in no rich place. He wasn't born in no rich motel or hotel or whatever, or hospital. No, he was born in a lowly stable. In a place where no one else would look to and say, well, she's going to give birth to the Messiah, was what they say. But I wonder where at. I see where they stop it. They stop it on the side of the road right here, and they going up there, and they will knock on the door of the hotel. They're going to knock on the door so they can get a room where they can go in there and where they can get a room for Mary, and where Mary can get in that soft, comfortable bed. And then she can lay there and she can give birth to the greatest individual. But what did they do? They went up and they knocked on the door. It wanted they just said, well, they don't need me going up there and knocking. They ain't gonna let us in anyhow. See, God allowed Joseph to go up and knock on that door to let them in. When he knocked on that door, and when the innkeeper come in, would come and answer that door, what did they say? We have no room for you. We're booked up. They probably weren't even booked up. But see, the Lord God Almighty, the Father in heaven, spoke to the innkeeper. Told the innkeeper, well, look at your books now. He looked at his books and he said, we don't have no rooms. We got some right now that's empty, but we got some travelers that's going to come by. And they're going to expect our rooms to be ready. They asked the innkeeper, said, well, where can we go to get out of the weather? Where can we go to where we can have, where she can be comfortable? He said, well, the only place I know of is right down the road. Right down the road is a little stable down there. And it's got a roof on it, it's got sides on it. And she'll be out of the weather. Went down there. There was a stable for the cows. And they had a feeding trough right there. I don't know if you know anything about it or not, or I'm sure some of you probably know and probably seen them. But, you know, on the farm, in the later years, they come up and they would put all the grain and everything into a metal trough. It'd be out there in the open. But before that, you could always see where they'd have in little small stalls in there. And then they would have a trough. And that feeding trough, it wasn't on the ground to where the animal had to reach way down and grab a hold to that food, to where they could be nourished by and drink the water. No, they had a trough where they could be fed. And they ate from that. See, Jesus Christ, when he was birthed, when she gave birth to him, she didn't have nowhere to lay him. She didn't know where to lay him because she didn't want to lay him on the filthy ground. Because he was the Son of God. And she took him and laid him there in that trough where was still probably feed in it for the cattle. He became to us the bread of life, where we could be fed from his trough, where we could grow. How many people did you know of today that is saved, that's here in church, and you know that they're in church somewhere else? And if a preacher's up there preaching, and he's talking about the bread of life, and then he's talking about the trough where the Lord Jesus, they laid him in, where his mother could get some rest. All the Christians that knows the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, that's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, in any way possible. And I know that some people have to work one of their own days, one of their own services. Well, see, that's not the individual's fault. That's the way the world has got. The world has got, says, we must work on Sunday. We must work late during the week. I can remember on Sunday, and it wasn't at Christmas time, and it wasn't at Easter time. It was Sunday, just during it, even the summer. You didn't have no places of business open. They was closed. Why was they closed? Because the people knew that they had to have some rest. The employee, they had to have a little rest to where they could be able to come back next week and do the job. But no, they don't worry about the people coming back and doing the job right, doing the job where they had been rested up for doing the job. No, they want them to work all the time. Yes, and they'll ask, hey, Some companies even make them work 12 hours a day. 12 hours a day laboring on the machines and everything like Goodyear on 12-hour shifts. Now you're going to tell me an individual can be productive 9, 10, 11, and the 12th hour. They cannot be productive like it can for 8 hours. Because the body is made up just to go so far. And it needs some rest. And yes, and the people, they get the rest on the job. Just like, and I'm so glad that I haven't heard any more accidents or anything like that. But in the last few years, Goodyear has had more accidents and more people that's lost their life over there because of the accidents, because of the 12-hour shifts. They can say what they want to. Even OSHA can say what they want to. They say, well, no, it won't because they work so many hours. It won't. What about the other people that worked 8 hours? And that's all they ever worked was 8 hours. How many other people on the job that you know of that works 8 hours a day? Do you hear anything about them and the company losing people that way? Because they're coming out and they worked and they weren't productive and they could not do the job effective enough? In the 7th hour and 8th hour of our job? No. The body cannot take but so much. The land itself cannot take but so much evil. This world cannot take but so much of evil. And all the wickedness that is going on. And all the wickedness is going on behind the doors in the church. I've never heard of a time like it is today. Some of the things that happens, that goes on in the local church. Where if my mother knew about it, or if my grandmother knew about it, or my mother either one, and my granddaddy, and my other family members that knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they knew about it, they would roll over in the grave there. Even Brother Poovey would roll over in his grave if he seen what was happening today. Brother Mays Jackson, he would roll over in his grave if he knew what was happening today. People would, I don't know what's wrong with people. It's too much evil. There's too much wickedness going on. Did you realize that we can get in an automobile right here and we can probably maybe drive a mile, maybe a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles. And we can see a sign of where they're advertising. Wickedness. That's what they advertise. See, they won't take that off of the billboards. They won't take all the women that's half-dressed off of the billboards. They won't take their pictures off, and they won't take what they're advertising off of the board. But yet they will take the beer, the alcohol off of the board. They can't even put them up no more. They can't advertise the beer. They can't even advertise cigarettes no more. They say, and the reason for that is they say, well, people out here drink the beer and everything, they go end up being alcoholic and everything. You can give them a fifth of liquor and they go down the highway, they'll have a wreck and kill somebody. Or you can have somebody to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day and everything for 25 or 30 years, and then they end up dying with lung cancer. What's wrong with the other people that don't drink, that don't do drugs, and don't run around and all that? What's going to happen to them? They're going to die too, and they're going to die in their wickedness. They're going to die in their wickedness. But I'm going to tell you something. The day and time that we're living in, we need to lean on Jesus more than we ever have before in our life. We have got to lean on Him. Because, see, He's the only one who's going to get us through. Because wouldn't it be sad to say that the Father looks down on this vast universe that He created? And all the people that He's created. Some people has left Him. He didn't leave them. They left Him. They've gone right back out into the world. Into the ungodly things that they do. But yet, what would we say? Well, what's you go to them, you talk to them, they don't hear you. Maybe we're not talking to them about the right thing. Maybe we're not talking about what God's done for us. What God has done for me. God's done more for me and what few years that I've been saved, then I can ever be able to thank him for. If the Lord took me home right now, if I was to just come off of these steps right here, and with my legs as weak as they are, and I happen to miss that bottom step and fall, and my head hits the floor, and I'm gone just like that. Come with me, feel my pulse, no pulse. My eyes is done set in my head that roll back. Why? Because I don't have no breath. I don't have no life in the body no more. If that happened to me today, my wife should not complain the first time. My wife should never come up, and you should never come up and say, well, Lord, why did you take him? He was trying to help the people. He was trying to help the church. He was trying to help us. Why did you take him? Sometimes God will take the good people to where he can touch them. Bad people. Because you know, like I've told y'all before, I got one brother. Well, I got two brothers. One of them's in church. He's teaching Sunday school. He says he's saved, and I mean, evidently, he must be, because, you know, getting him in church and preaching, and then getting him in Sunday school, and he was in the men's class, Sunday school class. And they come up about 2 or 3 years ago, and they wanted to get somebody new there in the class to teach. Well, it was other individuals and other men in there that could teach. But he said, didn't none of them come up with a suggestion? Didn't none of them volunteer to teach? Because they said the teacher that they had before, he wanted a little rest for a while, because he'd been teaching for so many years. And he just wanted to rest for a little while. I know you can get burnt out. You can get burnt out serving the Lord. And I didn't even know my brother was even in church. I mean, I knew he was going to preaching sometimes. I didn't know how much, how often. I did not know he was going to Sunday school. But then he told me, he says, when we was at the hospital with my mother, he says, Donnie, something you don't know. He says, I'm teaching Sunday school. That's the way I looked at it. My mouth hung open. What in the world? Hallelujah. I mean, that shocked me. But I said, well, hey, God done it. And he's been there in church. He's there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He's there doing the revival, what revivals they do have. And he is there at all the functions and everything. Why? Because he got a good dose of the Holy Ghost of God, and the Holy Ghost of God's living within his heart and his soul. And he's serving all three. He's serving the Holy Spirit, he's serving the Lord Jesus, and he's serving God the Father. And he will tell you, he says, I'm no Sunday school teacher. He said, but wouldn't nobody else volunteer? He said, we had to have somebody. And I just thought I'd try it. I said, well, y'all just pray for me. I'm going to try it. I ain't never done this. Something I ain't never done before. We've been teaching Sunday school now going on 3 years.
Well, yet I got another brother. He says he can take you to the place where you got saved at. But yet, you see no sign of it in his life. You see no sign of it at all. You see no sign of it in his life. And you see no sign of where he may have brought a little of that to his immediate family, to his wife, and to his stepdaughter and his stepson. They don't know anything about it. They haven't heard him say anything about it. And I told him, I says, David, I says, I know that you love them grandchildren more than life itself. And he does. He really loves them. But I did tell him this, and this was right after the funeral. And I told him, I said, David, at that time I think I had 3 grandchildren, right? You're 3. I says, David, I'm going to tell you something, and I know you do. I says, you love them grandchildren, don't you? He says, yeah. He says, that's my pride and my joy right there. I mean, they live down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he just liable to get up on Saturday morning and go to Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's drove down there by himself. And drove back. He's even went down there and kept the kids for his stepson to be able to take his wife out to supper. And he turned right back around and come back at night. And I said, David, I says, that right there does tell me that you do love them. And I know that. I said, but let me tell you something else. And I said, I know you probably ain't going to understand it, what I'm going to tell you. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. If you would just lay aside all this other stuff, all the beer and all the other stuff that you're doing, and not going to church and everything, first of all, you need to get saved. He said, I got saved. I says, when? He says, when I was 16? I says, David, I says, well, how long was you in church? He said, well, I stayed at church for about 2 years. I said, well, you stayed there about 2 years and you've been out ever since, ain't you? I said, I don't even think you got married in the church. I says, what you need to do? You need to come back and bow your head. You don't have to come to church to do it. You need to do it at home, wherever. And you need to confess your sins unto the Lord Jesus. And you say, Lord Jesus, I thought when I was 16 that I got saved, but I ain't so sure today. Would you save my soul? Would you just let me know? And once you do it, that I'm saved. And I said, you know something? And after you do that, then you need to ask him to be the Lord in your life, to be the number one in your life. And if he's the number one and he's the Lord of your life, then you're going to want to serve him. You want to do what he wants you to do. And you would bypass the other thing. Maybe something that you wanted to go on. You was aiming to do this coming weekend, and the Lord said, well, I don't want you to do that this weekend. What I want you to do is, I want you to go over and talk to so-and-so this weekend. You know, y'all good friends. You know, they say they was in church one time too, but they're not in church today. And And I said, David, and I'm telling you this, if you don't believe me, you get in the Word and you read it. There's three types of love. There's a sensual type love. There's a uroeus type love. I can't even think of it right now. And then it's an agape love. And if you get saved, and Lord Jesus Christ lives in your heart, then the other two loves, they'll still be there. One of them is a friendship type love, and the other one's a sexual type love. But then the other one is a godly love, and that's the agape love. I says, then if you accept that, and he lives in your life, the next time you go to see your grandchildren, instead of you just going in and hugging them and picking them up and hugging them so tightly and everything, I said, and I know you just thinking about them all day long before you get there and everything. I said, but just think, that 3-hour drive that you've been taking, it's going to end up like, man, I drove that faster than I have driven it before. And you go in there, and your eyes will beam out like you've seen something that you've never seen before. And when you tell them three children that you love them, the parents can see and they can experience in their heart and the way you said it, that you love them more than life itself. And that's what it's all about. It's all about going back to God's love. That's what we all need to do, is just get back to the fact that I need to love God more today than I did yesterday. And then Monday, I'm supposed to love God more Monday than I love God today. I'm supposed to love Him more and more and more each and every day that He passes by, and each and every day that He gives me the breath and He allows His Son, His blood, to cover me daily. See, I have to ask the Lord to crucify me daily. That's what Paul said. Paul says, I need to be crucified daily. I don't need to be crucified one time. I need to be crucified daily. And what he was saying is, that he could live closer to God day by day. Till we get home, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do until we either go by the grave or go by the aisle? I do not know which. I don't know which way I'm going. I would rather go in the air. I'd rather go the way the Lord wants to go. When God the Father steps out and He says, Son, you tell the angel there to blow that horn. You tell him to blow the trumpet right there. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and the ones of which all remain, the ones that are alive, you're going to start seeing
wrecks. You're going to start seeing crashes. You're going to start seeing people just be driving along, and they'll be driving over Bugs Island Lake down here. And the next thing you know, I mean, you'll see the tractor trailer in front of you will be just run off a bridge right over into the water. You'll see another automobile run off the bridge into the water. You'll see somebody else crash. And then they'll get on the radio. Then they'll get on the radio. You can have your radio on and everything. And you can be at home listening what's going on. And the police department and the fire and the rescue department, they're all in such an uproar and everything. They don't know what's going on. They don't even know which way to go. Why? Because the rapture is taking place. The rapture is taking place. The coming of the Lord is taking place. Woo, praise God, glory to be. And it just as well to be today as any other day I know of. Because if it wasn't for the day, hallelujah, I don't know where I'd be at. Praise God, I know he can come today. I know he can come tonight. He can come before I leave this building. He can come before I get off this platform here. And I know that. And I love him for that. Praise God. And I want to be with him. I want to see him one day. I want to be able to see my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be able to see him. And I want to be able to go up and touch his hands. I want to be able to go and rub his face and kiss on him and tell him how much I love him. I just want to do all of that and tell him how much I really love him. Why? Because how much he loved me. How much he loved me. You know, I haven't told y'all lately, but I love each and every one of you. I'd do anything in the world I could for you. Any way possible, I would do it. And if you needed money, I can't go and rob a bank for you to give you the money. But I tell you one thing, I can definitely pray that God will provide for you. And not only that, I don't just love you. I love your family. I don't know. I've never met any of your family except for you. I've never met anybody in your family except for you. Sister Irma, Sister Betty, Sister Donna, I love your family. And I know some of them. I love them. Sister Nancy, I love you, and I love your family. Some of them I hadn't met, some I have. Doesn't make no difference, I still love them. Shelby's got family. They're not in church. I love them. But they always got an excuse. Well, I just don't feel good today. I just don't feel good. My legs are bothering me. And I know their legs hurt. I know they do. I know their legs hurt. But see, to me, it looked like they'd come to church to get a little rest at the church. Because at home, they're going to probably be doing something else. And their leg's still going to hurt. I'm not talking about Brother Bill. I know Brother Bill would be here. I don't have no problem with that at all. But I'm talking about the ones that tell you, say, one of these days, just as soon as I can get my legs to where they're feeling better. And I said, your legs will never feel better. You're going to still always have pain. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Every time you deny coming and hearing the gospel, or any time you deny the Lord Jesus, he's not going to touch you. He's not going to touch you. Do I believe that preacher? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. He's not going to touch them if they deny him.
if they deny that he is the God of heaven. What is that? Donnie, I know you've been on me. You've been after me about coming and visiting any church. And you've even asked me, would I want to get saved today? I said, yeah. And I said, would you tell me? You told me that you was already saved. If the same Holy Spirit led me to Jesus, and he led you to Jesus, and then the same Jesus that saved my soul and forgave me of my sin and applied his blood to my life, if it's the same Jesus that done the same thing for you, then you'd be in church. You'd be doing something for the Lord Jesus. And the reason you're not, and the reason that you're hurting, and the reason you will not get rid of the pain, is because you do not trust God. You do not believe in God that can do anything for you. I said, I'm going to tell you something. And I told them this. I says, myself, about 2.5 years ago, I was told that the possibility I might have leukemia. Then the doctor done some tests, done a bone marrow. He said, well, you don't have leukemia. He said, but there is something wrong. You're losing blood. Your blood count is staying too low because of what you're taking and what I'm doing for you, it should be building up. But I had an enlarged spleen. That's where all the blood was going into the spleen. Enlarged spleen. They just said, now I want you to go and see a kidney doctor. I went and saw the kidney doctor. First time I saw the kidney doctor. First time I've been in his office, really, I reckon. And he told me then that I was in the fourth stage of kidney failure. And he asked me, has anybody even spoke to you anything about dialysis? I says, no. And I says, I really don't want to talk about that either. And he said, well, right now, we're not going to talk about it. He said, but you may have to take some treatments. Then I went to Dr. Patel. And then they tell me, says, your liver. You need to go and have your liver checked. Because what I've gathered and what I've tested you for and everything that you have, what you call, is non-alcohol liver cancer.
Cirrhosis
of the liver. Well, still the same thing. Still cancer, but you know, whatever. But, and I asked him, I said, well, Doc, I said, I want to ask you something. He says, now, you talking about this, and the kidney doctor's talking about all of that and everything. And I said, I think I got two kidneys, right? He said, yeah. He said, you got one over here and one on that side. I said, okay. I said, now, I think I just got one liver, right? He said, yeah. I said, now, can't they do a liver transplant and a kidney transplant at the same time? He said, yeah. He said, they've known to do it.
I mean, I was already talking about that. I'd already discussed it with my wife. I said, if a doctor says that you've got to have a liver transplant and then you have a kidney transplant, I said, I'm not putting it off. I said, I'm going to tell them. I said, if you can do it, start next week. If you can do it next week, I'll be ill. I don't believe in putting stuff off, especially when it comes to your life and your health. But I've been going through that now for 2 years. And every time I go back to Duke, I got to go back to Duke the third or fourth of next month. When I go back to them, every other time they've been telling me, it's getting a little better. It's getting a little better. And said, my kidney doctor told me, says, it's getting better too. You're still in the fourth stage, but you're about ready to go into the third stage, is the next thing. Because your level has come up, and I don't know what it's always talking about. They do. Well, see, I could have been facing all that. My wife could have been facing all of that. My daughter could have been facing all of that, facing this surgery. And my wife could be facing me having surgery, Duke, and all of that. Because, see, when the first time I went to Duke to even meet with the doctor, the liver doctor down there, he talked to me because he had all my records and everything from Patel and Garcia and all of them. And the first time I went to him, that he talked about that if I got to have liver surgery, the first thing that we'll do, you'll have to do, have to get you another, you'll have to come back down here and you'll meet, I don't know how many, 8, 10, 12, I don't know how many doctors it was or surgeons. And you'd have to talk to them, that I all have to talk to you. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ, ever since I went down in there first time, praise God, everything is getting better. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I stumble. Yes, I fall. My legs are weak. Yes, and if I don't watch myself right now, if I don't hold on that post when I come down the steps, I'm liable to come down and hit the floor and hit my head on that floor, hit my head on that one or the other. But I'll tell you one thing. Praise God, it ain't my kidney and it ain't my liver, praise Lord. I thank God because God, he's the only one can touch. He's the only one can do the surgery. And leaves no scar. But see, when I get to heaven, you know how I'm going to know Jesus? By the scars that's in his hands, the scar that's on his feet, and the scar that is in his side and on the top of his forehead. And I'm going to be able to look at them scars. I'm going to be able to say this. It's only by your grace that I'm standing here before you with no scars at all. No scars at all. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord God, we pray. Oh, Father, what was said this morning, Father, that it would touch the hearts in a special way. Father, that they may be enthused, Father. And Father, they may well just go home and maybe tell somebody else, or maybe tell somebody where they live at, or across the road, or across a neighbor, or a family member. And Father, that they will not just be ashamed anymore, Father. And I know, Lord, sometimes we use that word ashamed, and we use it in a way that look like the people that they will criticize us if we say that you're ashamed of speaking out for the Lord. I'm not ashamed of speaking out for you, Lord, and I don't believe these people here are ashamed of speaking out for you also, Lord Jesus, because I know, Father, that they want this church to be able to grow, and they want to be able to prosper, and they wanted to be able to see souls come in and be saved. They want to see the baptistry being used. And Father, they want to see people where they come in and join the fellowship here, Father, where we can go about, Father, and doing what you've asked each one of us to do. And Lord, I pray, Father, this evening, Lord Jesus, you'll be with us. And Father, be with us back tonight, Father. And we just pray, Father, you'll lead us to someone this week, Father. Allow somebody to be upon our hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.